Do you ever find or feel like you are not accomplishing enough? That there's not enough hours in a day? That you're pressed for time and can't seem to catch up? In Romans 13, verse 12, it's a scripture that I think when I first came into the church, this one spoke to my heart, and I don't know why it spoke to me so much back then, but in a way it still does today. It's just almost like a warning, Romans 13 and verse 12. It says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Title of this message is, "It's About Time." It's about time. And what I want to talk about today is procrastination. Because this verse sort of speaks, you know, it says, look, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And I don't know if you ever thought about it. You know, we think, okay, the works of darkness. We think about all these gross sins that people may be involved in. Well, what about the works of darkness when it comes to procrastination? You know, there is such a thing as spiritual procrastination, where you put off and you put off and, you know, something that God is showing you, something God is telling you to do, something God wants, you know, often the calling of God. People are guilty of spiritual procrastination, putting things off. Now, I want to ask, what is it that you want to do? And why are you not doing it? What is it that you want to do, and why are you not doing it? This scripture says, look, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. As I said, you know, we could talk about spiritual procrastination. My father, sort of, he was a procrastinator. I mean, he was sort of guilty of that. You know, he was always had this question, well, how do I know when the time is right? How do I know? You know, and he felt like God was calling him. But how do I know this is a decision I need to make? And he sort of kept putting off. You know, the word procrastination means to postpone doing something. It's the simplest definition, just to postpone, just put it off doing something. And often one of the biggest calls, I think, of procrastination is often we use that. I've used this one a lot. Lord, I just don't know if this is your will or not. I've used that a million times. Well, how do I, you know, it's almost as if I'm expecting God just to speak to me, you know, just tell me, David, you go do this. You know, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. And, you know, how do I know this is the right decision? How do I know I should do this? There comes a point where, right or wrong, you must make a decision and act on that decision. You know, if it's a wrong decision, God is, and I've taken comfort in this, if it's a bad decision, God's big enough to correct it. He's big enough to correct you. If it's a wrong decision, God can just simply turn your feet back around. But you know, if you never make a decision, if you never act, if you never move, you can't steer a ship that's just sitting there, you know, just right in the middle. It's not going anywhere. You got to have movement before God can begin to direct your path. What will it take for me to get off my butt and do the things that God wants me to do? Well, if God would just tell me, if God would just speak to me, maybe we're looking for a sign from God. Show me, Lord. And yet Jesus said, there's a scripture in Mark 8 and verse 12, said he sighed deeply in spirit. I mean, a sigh deeply in spirit, and said, why do this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Again, I think it comes a time when we have to realize God has shown me everything he's going to show me. And it's a leap of faith. It really is a leap of faith where you have to move in a direction. He's not going to show me anymore. Well, if God would just send someone, how about this one, maybe from the dead. That'd get your attention. One of your dead relatives come up. Do this! I think of the story in Luke 16, verse 30, where he said, Father Abraham, but if one of them went from the dead, they would repent. And Jesus said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither would they hear, be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, as I think about the subject of procrastination, you've got to understand what's going on. Procrastination deprives us of our ambitions, hopes, and dreams. Because procrastination keeps us from achieving our goal. In other words, have you ever thought, okay, why am I unhappy? Why am I not full of joy? Why am I, you know, why do I sometimes have this, I'm not full? And if you think about the very thing that you're doing, procrastinating, is keeping you from experiencing the joy that would come from doing, achieving, accomplishing. The very fact that we're postponing and putting off and putting off and putting off is one of the reasons for our misery sometimes in life. So to me, that's a very evil, it's an evil thing here, procrastination, because it deprives us of our ambitions, hopes, and dreams. Okay, do you find yourself, number one, do you find yourself putting off today much more than you will ever be able to accomplish tomorrow? Sometimes, you know, our procrastination is like a junk closet that we begin to fill up. You know, we got this thing we need to do. We look at it and we say, yeah, I really need to do this, and we stack it in this closet. And here's another thing. Well, I need to do this one also, and we put it in the closet, and I'll get around to it until that closet is just brim full, and we're scared to open the door. I mean, if we open the door, it's just going to fall out upon us, smash us flat of things that we're postponing, things that we need to be doing. Do you find yourself putting off today much more than you will ever be able to accomplish tomorrow? Do you find yourself deliberately working slower at something, planning to speed up later to finish it up? Deliberately working slower, and sort of just dragging your feet. That's procrastination. You know, you're just dragging your feet. You drag stuff out longer than it normally would take. You got a 5-minute project. Lasts for weeks. Do you find yourself delaying to put a great idea or important plan into action? Telling yourself that you'll start tomorrow. Now, often I've been guilty of that. You know, a great idea, inspiration comes. And I don't act on it. I postpone it. Put it off. Procrastination. You know, it's about time to put your great idea into action. It's about time. Well, okay, I'll do that as soon as God gives me the okay. You know, as soon as He shows me this sign, I'll do it. No, it doesn't work like that. It takes a leap of faith. Do you find yourself running needless errands to avoid getting down to the task at hand? Needless things, you know, like it can be all kinds of things. I'm not saying checking emails is a bad thing, but, you know, you can spend a lot of time looking at emails. You know, you can, I don't know, you can call or visit or talk to people that, you know, not, I guess what I'm talking about is non-productive things that we do to just sort of needless errands to avoid getting down to the task at hand. Now, if you've answered, you know, yes to any of these questions, you may want to consider, do I have a problem with procrastination? Now, what does the Bible say about procrastination, and is it really that bad? I mean, let's ask that. Is it really that bad, the fact that we postpone doing things? Well, first one I want to turn to, Proverbs 6 and verse 6. Proverbs 6 and verse 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no guide or overseer or ruler. Provide your meat in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. Consider the ant. Consider the ant. And you look at a big old anthill and all those ants are just busy. They're all busy. And there's not one sitting there just saying, I'm waiting for someone to tell me what to do. You know, someone give me some instructions here. And I'll get busy. No, they're all busy. And I remember thinking about doing something one time and postponing it and putting off and procrastination. And I thought, well, wait a minute. You know, I need wisdom. I need godly counsel. And none of these things are bad. I need advice. I need a group of advisors. You know, and I kept thinking, I need this. And I read this scripture. It says, go to the ant, which has no guide or overseer. It's sort of like self-motivation. You know, it's to look within yourself and realize, in the Spirit of God within you, and realize, okay, God's Spirit in me, and I can do this, and a motivator to do the things, whatever you need to do, whatever it needs to be done. It continues on in Proverbs 6 and verse 9. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come as one that travaileth, and your want as an armed man. And so procrastination is often a form of laziness. That's what I'm saying. It is often a form of laziness. Number two, what does the Bible say about procrastination? Proverbs 26 and verse 13. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. It says, the slothful man, the lazy man, says, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the street. Now, I've never heard such an idiotic excuse. I mean, think about how crazy that is. There is a lion out in the yard somewhere. Unless you've got, of course, Jerry Clower, you know, he tells the joke about that one, you know. You do know that story, don't you, Jerry Clower? Well, let me tell it to you. The Ledbetters, they had this dog, collie dog, that they would shear every summertime. And they'd leave a big ball of hair on the end of its tail and around its neck. But they'd cut all the rest of the hair off, you know, this big fur around its neck. And one of the Ledbetters come running in and said, there's a lion in the yard, lion in the yard. And Uncle Versy said, boy, I done told you about lying. I done whipped you, I done beat you. Now you go upstairs and you pray to God for 30 minutes and ask Him to forgive you about lying. He goes up there and he comes back down. He said, did you pray? He said, yes, sir. He said, did you make your peace with God? He said, yes, sir. He said, the Lord spoke to me. He said, the first time he saw that dog, he thought it was a lion too. I love that story. But, you know, we've had, you know, one time I told one of our workers, I said, you could write a book. 101 excuses why I can't work. I mean, he never had the same excuse. You know, it was a bad hot dog that he got for breakfast. And I'm thinking, who eats hot dogs for breakfast? But he always had the same excuse about something, you know, not being able to work. But making excuses is a favorite game of the procrastinator. I mean, they make up this game of excuses. And this is the one I love the most, and I've heard this a lot. If I can't do it right, I'm not going to do it at all. And that's what they're good at, doing nothing at all. You know, it's a form of postponing things. I don't know if I've ever did anything perfect, you know, exactly right. I mean, but you learn from your mistakes. And that's the whole process of learning from your mistakes and realizing, uh-oh, well, that didn't quite seem to work, and this didn't quite seem to work, and so you're always re-evaluating and readjusting yourself. What does the Bible say about procrastination? But Jonah, I'm just going to share this story, rose up and fled away from God. God had commissioned Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah runs away. You know, Jonah had a fear of, he put off what he knew God wanted him to do. You know, God says, go to Nineveh and warn them. And he runs in the opposite direction. Didn't he know who was speaking to him? Didn't he know it was God? You know, go to Nineveh, Jonah. And he runs away. And I think, I love the story of Jonah because I think one of the reasons, Often God, when it comes to procrastination, will call you to do something beyond your natural ability, beyond yourself. And for that reason, it invites procrastination, because you're thinking, I can't do this. You know, Jonah, I don't think the mission that God gave him fit Jonah's nature. Because God said, Jonah, I want you to go to this town and preach this message of repentance. You know, 40 days and Nineveh shall fall. And Jonah didn't give a rip whether Nineveh repented or not. In fact, he got mad when they did. He got angry. Now get that. He got upset. He threw a temper tantrum. You know, it was crazy. But I think Jonah knew that this mission didn't fit my true nature. And so that's what I'm saying. God will often call you to do something beyond your natural ability. Often if you have a lot of confidence about, oh, I can do this. Yeah, let me do it. Send me, Lord. You got your right man here. You know, often if you think like that, chances are God cannot use you. You know, it's like people that want to preach. I mean, I've met people that want to preach. And usually the ones that want to preach are the ones that should not be preaching. They just should not be up in the pulpit preaching. But anyway, Joshua 18 and verse 3. So Joshua said to the people of Israel, how long are you going to wait before you go in and take the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you? And again, this is procrastination. And again, here, procrastination can be a form of disobedience. Because here he's saying, how long are you going to sit around and not take this land, to possess the land that I've given you? What does the Bible say about procrastination? Here's a good one. Matthew 25 and verse 25. You know the story of this one, but I'm just going to break into the middle of it. And I was afraid, the parable of the talents. Talents was given out to each one. And this one, it says, I think the one that was given one talent, said, I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, you have what is yours. Fear of failure. Procrastination. Is one of the things that, you know, and I can relate to this fear. I've gotten tired of repeated failures in the areas of outreach and doing things, you know, and it's like I tried so many things that didn't seem to work. And you almost get to a point where you think, I can't stand another letdown. If I have one more letdown, I'm going to croak, you know, and you get to that point. And here's the thing, that a danger here. You can go into this mode here. Well, I'm trying, but I'm really not trying to succeed. I'll just give it a half-hearted effort. I'll just keep sort of moving in this direction. And I'm trying, but I'm really not trying to succeed. And I believe with God, you either try to succeed or you do not. It's all or nothing at all. It's no, well, I'll just sort of mosey around and I'll hit a tap here and I'll hit a half-hearted effort and I hope you bless that, Lord. No, if you're going to try to do something, you better try to do it to succeed. Because that's how, you know, I think God works. Okay, overcoming procrastination. Number one, identify the cause. There are certain things that causes you to slip into this. And for me, I'll share one with what really causes me to fall into postponing things. And that is a chaotic environment. You know, I'm a neat freak. And if I do a project, you know, if Ronnie says, fix a mixer, and I pull my mixer into the garage, if my garage is a mess, it's a big time procrastination. It's like I'll go here and I'll think, and I'll go here, what am I doing, you know? And I'll look around. It's just, in order for me to get in with it, I have to organize, clean, and then once that environment is right, I can do a project very quickly. It's same with my desk, you know, church work. You know, if it's messy, I'll just look at this, look at that, and think, what's that doing there, and what's that doing there, and what's this, and I'll get distracted, and I'll start postponing and putting off and procrastination. I have to have a neat working environment. And I've learned that about myself. You know, just I may take 3 hours to clean my garage to do a 15-minute project. But I'll never do the 15-minute project unless I got that thing, unless I got that environment right. And I know that about me. And so I've learned this from experience, and so I just have to work that way. Don't give me a chaotic environment to work in. I will tell you, it will drive me crazy, and I'll just spin in circles. Now, some people can work in a chaotic environment. You know, Sandy sent me a picture of the greatest minds had the messiest desk or something like that. And it's like, oh boy, I couldn't work in that if I had to. But didn't it have Obama's desk all cleaned off? Well, that's my desk right there. I mean, it's spotless and everything is organized. And the file, I get around to organizing files in my computer. You know, making sure some of those are organized, because a computer can be a mess. You can go in there and think, what am I even looking for? I don't even know what I'm looking for. So that's just me, okay. You may like your messy environment. You may work great in your messy environment. If you can, that's great. I'm not knocking it if it works for you. Number two, listen to that repetitive voice inside your head. And that's just something that just keeps coming up. You need to do this. You should do this. You know, and a year can go by, and it's like, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Listen to that repetitive voice in your head and get with it. Number three, determine what you want to achieve today. Write it down. You know, it's really, all you're dealing with is really one day at a time. And, of course, that was a song. But it's a powerful message, one day at a time. You can't handle weeks ahead of yourself, but you can handle one day at a time. But write it down. I know my sister has told me this a long time ago, that she, you know, it's a list of things that she's going to accomplish today. It's a powerful way to get things done. Analyze your list. Determine how long each thing will take. Now, another thing that causes me procrastination is I'm not good at analyzing how long something will take. I'm able to look at something and think, I can do that in 5 minutes. Well, it's impossible. You know, it's more like 5 hours. You know, it's like Ronnie will say, how long do you think it'll take to do this, that? And I'll think, well, about 15 minutes. And I'm terrible at evaluating how long it takes to do something. And Ronnie's good at it. He can figure out the time, and it usually works pretty good. But me, I will always give a short little, well, I can do that in a little bit of time. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I got to drive 3 hours just to get to the place. I hadn't figured that in yet. And I'm just not, so evaluate and give yourself enough time of this list of how long it will take. If something on your list is difficult, put it at the top. Do it first. Because once you get it over with, guess what? You'll feel really good about yourself. You say, I got that one through. Five, start today. It's about time. You know, when you enter into a relationship with God, the opportunity, I shouldn't say opportunity, but to procrastinate will only intensify. The closer you get to God's will, this is my conviction, the greater the procrastination will set in. The closer you work to God's will, because with God, you're dealing with a supernatural being, a spirit being, and so the tendency to procrastinate in a relationship with God, God's going to call you to do some things that's going to take faith. You know, you're not going to be able to understand it at first. You're not going to look at it and say, oh, I got that figured out. I want to give you an illustration of this in closing in Exodus 14 and verse 12. A little story here. It says, is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Now here they are at the Red Sea, Pharaoh behind them, you know, mountains on each side, water in front of them. I mean, you talk about an opportunity to procrastinate. I mean, when you can't go back, you can't go left, you can't go right, and looking in front of you, you think, well, I can't walk on water either. I might as well just, you know, turn in and postpone doing anything. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians which you have seen, you're not going to see them anymore. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, I love this verse, verse 15, Exodus 14 and verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore cry you unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. I love that story. Go forward. And I'm convinced that probably nothing happened until they start to move. Then the water, you know, started. You know, they had to, it was an act of faith. See that they go forward. Why are you complaining? So move forward. Stop putting off. God expects us to act on what we know, what he has shown us, what he wants us to do. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And you know, when you start to move forward, when you make that decision to quit, you know, I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to stop this procrastination. I'm going to make my little list for the day. I'm going to do this. When you start to move forward, God will say to you, it's about time.